His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
This is the day of the year we Christians, Christianity, takes time to recognize and remember the suffering and death of Jesus for the sins of his people. This evening, we're going to take some time and look in the scripture, the account it gives of that day, and share with you three thoughts. Three thoughts I want to offer you this evening for meditation, and I want to organize those three thoughts around three time markers found in the text. The third hour, which was 9 a.m. The sixth hour was at 12 p.m. And then lastly, the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m. First, I'd like to read again for you the account Pastor read, only because it's worthy to hear it again, especially on the day that we commemorate the crucifixion of Christ. So let me read to you this passage again, and then share with you these three thoughts I want to offer for your meditation this evening. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Again, verse 24. and they crucified him and divided his garments among them. The third hour, the crucifixion. Violent, brutal, barbaric, primitive, uncivilized, cruel, shameful, bloody, sadistic. This is the crucifixion. Violent. The first thought I want to share with you this evening for your meditation is this. The crucifixion was offensive. It was offensive. The crucifixion, in fact, was so horrific, the Romans reserved it only for those nations and countries that they had conquered. The crucifixion was so horrific, it was forbidden for a Roman citizen to be crucified unless they were the worst of traitors. It was offensive. A crucified Messiah, a crucified Savior, a crucified King is offensive. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles." The crucifixion is offensive. It's a stumbling block for Jews and it's foolishness to Gentiles because it is so offensive. The brutality is offensive. The violence is offensive. The cruelty of it, it's offensive. The shame and the blood, all of those things are offensive. We're a society that doesn't like offensive things. Everybody today is offended. The cross is offensive. All of those things are offensive, but the true offensiveness does not lie in those things. No. All of those things are offensive, but the true offensiveness lies in what the crucifixion proclaims. The brutality is offensive, the blood is offensive. But it's the message that the cross proclaims. That's where the true offense takes place. What is it? Paul explained in Galatians 5 that if he preached salvation, if he preached a salvation by works, then the offense of the cross would be removed. So what is the offense? The crucifixion is offensive because it proclaims that our own works are not good enough. It proclaims that nothing we do can save us. The crucifixion is offensive because of our sin. The crucifixion says none of us are good. In fact, we're so bad, our sin is so bad, it requires that kind of bloody sacrifice from a sinless Savior to save anyone. That's why it's offensive. Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Had Christ not died, had he not been crucified on that Friday, no one would be saved. That's offensive. That kind of statement will separate friends. Have you been there? That kind of statement splinters families. Talking about the blood sacrifice of Christ for the sins of mankind will put you on the outs. with the world. The crucifixion is offensive. Next thought I want to share with you comes from verse 33. And there was darkness over the whole land the sixth hour. Darkness. When you read the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all recorded that darkness lasted for 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, from noon to 3 p.m. Luke even went so far to record that it was the sun's light that failed. But I want you to know that this was no eclipse. This was not the moon eclipsing the sun. Because during the Passover, the moon is full. And it's in the wrong location. It could not have been a lunar eclipse of the sun. And no eclipse could last for 3 hours anyway. This was not just a day where the sky was cloudy and overcast. No. This darkness was oppressive. That's the second thought I want to share with you. The darkness was oppressive. Because it was a supernatural darkness. A Egyptian historian wrote of that darkness and of that day, he said this, either a divine being suffers, or suffers with him that suffers, or the frame of this world is dissolving. This darkness was not confined to that area around Jerusalem. This was a supernatural darkness, much like the one laid on Egypt for 3 days by God as the ninth plague. God described it to Moses as a darkness that could be felt. The darkness was oppressive. During those 3 hours of darkness, no events are recorded. No. There's no conversations recorded that happened during those 3 hours of darkness. There was no taunting. There was no more mocking going on during those 3 hours. Nothing recorded. No activities, no conversations. There was nothing recorded during those 3 hours. It was oppressive. The only thing that took place during those 3 hours that we know about is that it was dark. There was darkness during those 3 hours. There was suffering. There was much suffering during those 3 hours, and there was one other thing. There was one other thing that happened during those 3 hours that had never happened in all of eternity past. God the Father turned away from God the Son. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Speaking of those 3 hours he had just come through. Jesus cried out in anguish like that because for the first time, he was separated from the Father in that way. You see, because when he was on the cross, he became, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he writes, he became sin for us. And the wrath of God was poured out on him. An eternity's worth of wrath poured out on him for my sin. For your sin. If you trust in him. The darkness was oppressive. The last thought I want to share with you comes out of the ninth hour. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. The ninth hour, death. The third hour, crucifixion was offensive. The sixth hour, the darkness was oppressive. And here at the ninth hour, death, his death. And his death was obedience. I want to read to you a couple of verses here about that. Jesus' death was in obedience to the Father. Listen to what Jesus has to say here. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, speaking to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's what sustained him. Let me read you another one. Jesus said, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He ever sought the Father's will. Never striking out on his own to do his own thing. He came to do the Father's will, and his death on the cross was an act of obedience. Jesus would later say, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." His death was obedience. Think about that. What an act of love obedience is. Jesus was ever the obedient Son. He fully obeyed the Father in every way. Not once. He never once acted outside the will of the Father. Everything he said, everything he did, all governed by the will of his Father. In perfect submission. And even now, his death on the cross that day was in obedience to the Father's will. He would go on to say, "But I do as the Father has commanded me." Now get this. Let me read that again. "But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." What a selfless act of love. What obedience to suffer like he did on the cross because he loves the Father. And he came to do the Father's will, which was to save a people for himself. Are you one of those people? Yet, Isaiah writes, "Yet it was the will of the Father to crush him." It was the Father's will to crush his Son, to see him nailed to a cross outside Jerusalem, to save a people for himself. The crucifixion was offensive. The darkness was oppressive. And his death was obedience. So what's the purpose of it all? Why was the crucifixion offensive? Why was the darkness oppressive? Why was his death obedient? Why? What's the reason for it? We've come to the end of Good Friday. We've got some things to think about. We're going to take part in communion here shortly to remember again in another way that Jesus gave his body and his blood to save a people. What's the purpose of it all? We could say it was so that we here tonight in Polk City, in this church, so that we would see our sin for what it really is. That's what the cross proclaims. This is how serious sin is. So that we would see it for what it really is, repent of it, and turn to Jesus in faith and be gloriously saved. And to join with the uncountable numbers of Christians before us who have done that very thing and been saved. And then glorify God the Father for his grace and mercy. His unspeakable, his immeasurable, his infinite grace and mercy that we find in his Son nailed to an offensive cross. Think about this this evening, would you? I would challenge you to look inside and see if you're one who is trusting in what Christ did so long ago on the cross. Maybe you're not. And if you're not, you can do that tonight. You can trust in the one who died for sinners like me and sinners like you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.